due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. Purport. In this verse, the identity of the living beings is clearly given. The living entity is a fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, eternally. It is not that he assumes individuality in his conditional life and in his liberated state becomes one with the Supreme Lord. He is eternally fragmented. It is clearly said, Sanatana. According to the Vedic version, the Supreme Lord manifests and expands himself in innumerable expansions, of which the primary expansions are called Vishnu Tattva, the secondary expansions are called the living entities. In other words, the Vishnu Tattva is the personal expansion and the living entities are the separated expansions. By his personal expansion, he is manifested in various forms like Lord Rama, Narsingha Dev, Vishnu Murti, and all the predominating deities, the Vaikuntha planets. The separated expansions, the living entities, are eternally servitors. The personal expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the individual identities of the Godhead, are always present. Similarly, the separated expansions of living entities have their identities. As fragmental parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, the living entities also have fragmental portions of his qualities, of which independence is one. Every living entity, as an individual soul, has his personal individuality and a minute form of independence. By misuse of that independence, one becomes a conditioned soul, and by proper use of independence, he is always liberated. In either case, he is qualitatively eternal, and the Supreme Lord is in his liberated state, he is freed from this material condition, and he is under the engagement of transcendental service unto the Lord. In his conditioned life, he is dominated by the material modes of nature, and he forgets the transcendental loving service of the Lord. As a result, he has to struggle very hard to maintain his existence in the material world. The living entities, not only human beings and the cats and dogs, but even the greater controllers of the material world, that's Brahma, Lord Shiva, and even Vishnu, are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. They are all eternal, not temporary manifestations. The word kashati, struggling or grappling hard, is very significant. The conditioned soul is bound up as though shackled by iron chains. He is bound up by the false ego and the mind, the chief agent which is driving him in this material existence. When the mind is in the mode of goodness, his activities are good. When the mind is in the mode of passion, his activities are troublesome. And when the mind is in the mode of ignorance, he travels in the lower species of life. It is clear, however, in this verse, that the conditioned soul is governed by the material body, with the mind and the senses. And when he is liberated, this material covering perishes, but his spiritual body maintains itself in its individual capacity. The following information is there in the Madhyandinayana Shruti. First time I hear this. Madhyandinayana Shruti. Sava esha brahma nishta idam shariram matyam artishraja brahma abhishampadya brahmana pashyati brahmana shrinoti brahmana evidam saranam anupavati. It is stated here that when a living entity gives up this material embodiment and enters into the spiritual world, he revives his spiritual body, and in his spiritual body he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. He can hear and speak to him face to face, and he can understand the Supreme Personality as he is. From Smriti also it is understood, Vashanti Yataha Purusha Sarve Vaikuntha Muktayaha. In the spiritual planets, everyone lives in bodies featured like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As far as bodily construction is concerned, there is no difference between the past living entities and the expansions of Vishnumurti. In other words, at liberation, the living entity gets a spiritual body by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Mamaivam Selfric, mental paths and passes of the Supreme Lord, are also very significant. The fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord is not like some material broken part. We have already understood in the second chapter that the spirit cannot be cut into pieces. This fragment is not materially conceived. It is not like matter, which can be cut into pieces and joined together again. That conception is not applicable here because the Sanskrit word sanatana, eternal, is used. The fragmental portion is eternal. It is also stated in the beginning of the second chapter that in each and every individual body, the fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord is present. Dehinos vinyat hadehe. That fragmental portion, when liberated from the bodily entanglement, revives its original spiritual body in the spiritual sky, in a spiritual planet, and enjoys association with the Supreme Lord. It is, however, understood here that the living entity, being a fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, is qualitatively one with the Lord, just as the parts and parcels of gold are also gold. Very long verse explanation. I do hope to be able to speak nicely about this. Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paskatyadhi Shatarine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita This 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is actually a detachment from this material world. It has been described in the beginning verses that the living entity is very much entangled in the material world, which is to be compared with a banyan tree, which is reflected in upon the desire to enjoy this world. Now, this sounds difficult for those who hear it the first time, but I will not even explain it because it'll sort of take the attention to there. Just imagine an upside down tree the tree of material existence is reflected, and the spiritual existence is like the real tree. So the living entity goes on this, on the twigs and branches of this tree, around and around like a monkey who stays in a tree and just jumps from one branch to the other. This is how you go from one life to the other, being dragged by your powerful mind and senses. And Krishna gives us the advice to find out the origin of this tree and cut it with the axe of detachment. The material existence finds its origin in the desire of the living entity to enjoy this material world separately from Krishna. If you want to cut the entanglement in the tree of material existence, you will have to go to this root cause. Just cut it there. The desire to enjoy, that's from there. Our whole existence is coming. Now, Krishna describes that those who are able to cut this tree of material existence go to the transcendental spiritual world, where they surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a spiritual body which sees and hears and does everything in the ocean of ecstasy, of transcendental bhava. Those who do not cut this tree of material existence, they continue walking from one branch to the next. And how this actually works will be explained with this, starting with this verse. This verse starts the science of self-realization. It is describing how around your mind, who wants to enjoy, there is a grouping of senses. If you look into your face with the eyes of knowledge, you can see what type of desires to enjoy you have, so that your eyes, your mouth, your lips, your fingers, and your body is formed accordingly, so that you can actually fulfill this desire. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that the living entity drags his senses around with him like a prisoner who drags a chain with an iron ball with him. I think in the old movies you must have seen how the prisoners, this is how we drag our senses with us, which are grouped around the mind. Now when the mind, and therefore this verse talks a lot about the mind, is fixed on material life, it will go to another body, and it's very interesting, it will drag the senses with him, but in a subtle form. When you leave this body, Bhakta Thorsten, your material, your gross senses will obviously remain there, but the subtle senses will be dragged with you. You might say, subtle senses? I never heard about this. Well, consider what happens to you when you have a dream where you go as a tourist to a different countryside. You see also, you hear also, you might even try to enjoy a nice traditional vegetarian dish there, which people offer you. You do have senses on the subtle platform, and you actually bring them with you to the next material body, and then around these senses, the gross senses are again formed. In other words, if you have been a great, let me say, a great musician who liked music very much, who had the ears to hear the music and the fingers to play an instrument, then in your next life you might again get the gross senses, which are simply covering these subtle senses like a glove is, as a hanshu, is covering a hand. That's how you go, taking your subtle senses with you from life to life and to life. This is what will be explained in the following verses, as to illustrate the destiny of future of those who do not take the rope, the axe of detachment, and cut the material existence with this rope, with this axe, just like you would cut a tree. I'm just explaining this because in this way you will get an understanding how the 15th, or the beginning of the 15th chapter, and this verse is intended by Sri Krishna. Now, I want to raise another point from here, which will be easier for you to understand if you are not accustomed to think in philosophical terms. It is described here that the living entity is Prakriti Stani. It is situated in this material world, in this body, with its senses which are grouped around the mind. It has a Stani, a place here. In a Krishna consciousness, many of us have tried to change this place, and they have given up material life and are now in search of a place in spiritual life. Each one of us, if he wants to practice Krishna consciousness actually successfully, will have to find his or her place in life, which obviously shouldn't be a place like the one which is described here, where one is struggling very hard with the six senses and the mind, that is where one leads a material life. I think many devotees still are in search of their place in the transcendental movement for Krishna consciousness. And much self-searching goes on until devotees can confidently say, well, I found my place. And today, I therefore desire to talk a little bit about not Prakriti Stani Kashati, but Krishna Iskon Stani, hopefully Anandini, you know. enjoying is maybe not relishing the moods of devotional service in this world, finding such a place. Now, it is interesting to note that when you find your own true place in life, you will get a lot of energy from this particular place. A tree, for instance, when it is properly situated in the earth, will get so much energy and minerals and water from this proper situation. When a tree is not properly situated, then it's very difficult for the tree to really live and grow and bring forth fruits and flowers. So a devotee in this material world must be properly situated in order to be happy and fulfilled. Srila Rupa Goswami gives the analogy for bhakti. He says, it's like a seed which we put in the earth of the heart, right? Then we water it through regular chanting and hearing, and at the end it will grow a transcendental fruit, the fruit of love of Godhead, and find rest at the lotus feet of Krishna. Each devotee has to take care that this Bhakti Lata Beach, which he has received in by the initiation of our Sampradaya, will be placed in the proper earth. That means that he's in the proper place in Krishna consciousness, where this can happen, that he grows up in Krishna consciousness until finally he finds rest at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. It's our responsibility to find this place, and it is necessary. Unless if we don't, we might not see the growth of the Bhakti Lata Beach to its full completion. Many times when devotees hear the word place, I must find the proper place, they think more of a place in three-dimensional space. That means they think of a temple in a country where they feel attracted to. They think of a program, perhaps a preaching program. And in this way, they think the place is something which must be in a three-dimensional space in this world. But in the example of Srila Rupa Goswami, we find that this place has a lot to do with the heart, or with the seat of consciousness. If your consciousness is on the right place, that means if you have the right understanding in your Krishna consciousness, it is very easy to make that advancement which we are talking about. If the consciousness is in the wrong space, it's not possible. You know, in the gave this example. There was this pandit who gave this Ramayana discourse, and many people came every morning to listen. There was one lady especially who was always crying tears, tears, tears. The pandit thought, well, she is certainly in the highest exalted mood of love of Ramachandra consciousness, and I'm very glad that she developed such a transcendental mood by hearing my discourses. Finally, someone can receive what I'm saying. And so he went to this lady and said, "You are a very ecstatic person, you are always crying." "Oh, yes," said the lady. What do you find in this Ramayana? Are you experiencing some separation from Lord Ram?" "Lord Ram? I'm always thinking about my goat." "Because he had a similar beard like you have. When I look at your face and see your beard, it reminds me so much of my goat which died 2 weeks ago." So you can see her body was in the right place. She heard some Ram Katha, but her consciousness was not, and therefore she could not really benefit from that right place. There is a very interesting example in our scriptures about a devotee who found the right place and with it lots of transcendental nourishment. It is about Mrigari the hunter. I know that mostly all of you know about this, so I will not tell it in great detail. It was, in short words, Mrigari was a hunter, ex-hunter, who met Narada Muni. Narada Muni convinced him to give up his sinful hunting business, and as a result, yes, and he told him, just stay at a hut and engage in chanting and hearing and watering tulasi. So Mrigari went and did just that. He first had a question, will I be supplied with my livelihood? And Narada Muni said, Krishna will send. So people came to this Mrigari, the hunter, being totally amazed about his becoming so transcendental. And they gave him a lot of food, more than he could personally utilize, and he distributed it. He had so much, he distributed it. So he found his proper place. But again, I want to remind you, my dear devotees, it was not necessarily a place on the map. Platz auf der Landkarte. He found the right consciousness. He made himself dependent on Krishna and Krishna's mercy. And Krishna took care of him. It's described just like a householder who likes to take care of his children and his different subordinates. Krishna likes to take care of devotees who surrender to him in loving devotional service. Mrigari was an example for this. He didn't make any longer plans independent from the service of Lord Krishna, but he had found his place. He was properly situated in Krishna consciousness, in dependency of Krishna. So how do we find this place? I have personally thought about five answers how we can find our own place in Krishna consciousness. First, in order to find something, you have to have eyes to see. If I'm looking for something and I don't have eyes with which I can recognize anything, then it will not be possible for me to see. Very logical. So we have to first of all purify our consciousness, so that we will be able to see better. Here we find two types of people described in the 15th chapter. One is the detached person who cuts the tree of material existence, and the other is the attached person who goes from one body to another, taking with him the different conceptions of life which he has developed. So your consciousness really determines what will come out of you, your life. And therefore, the first thing is really to purify the consciousness, to develop an intense desire to be used by Sri Krishna. Sri Lajiva Goswami gives the example of a flute. And the flute's perfection is reached when it is brought to the lips of the Lord, and the Lord plays and whistles on it. And some nice melody comes out. So Krishna is like that. He is the supreme Lord, and he likes to use the living entity as his flute, as his instrument, which he blows, so to say, his divine command and order. So let us purify our consciousness so that we will see our proper place. I've heard once Krishna Once there was a colonel, a worm, who had a friend. A friend was a bee. The bee said, "My dear worm, I live in a flower garden. Come with me, enjoy the good atmosphere." "Oh," said the worm, "I don't think I will get anything to eat there." "Oh, no, no problem. Honey, flower pollen, enough to eat. Just give up your stool, pit, and come with me." So the worm had some faith, but only some. Before leaving the stool, he secretly took some balls of fecus, slime and stool, and put it in the nose, just in case it needed the proviant. You never know. Maybe there was not be enough. Is the worry of our mom. So the bee flew with him to the flower garden and said, "Do you smell it?" "Not much," said the mom. "Not much difference. But try harder. It's quite intense, but not really flowery." So then the bee saw what was going on. He said, "Let's go, let's take a bath." And he took the worm, and when the worm was innocently bathing, the bee was shaking it in the water until finally these two balls fell out of the nose. Then the bee took the worm again to the flower garden and says, "Now, smell the nectar." And the worm smelled it and said, "Now I smell it. It's so nice. Thank you very much." So this means, this is what I mean, purify the consciousness. When we take our old conception with us into Krishna consciousness, we might not be able to see. Next thing is, in order to find your place, service. Now, service in our Western understanding means to just do something and the result is given to that master to whom you do the service. But in Krishna consciousness, the word seva carries also a subtle second meaning, which is to establish a relationship with. See, many of us have been to India. We walked through the flower gardens of Vashanam, swam through the Yamuna, bathed in the Ganga, and put the mud all over our body and basked in the Mayapur sun. But several of us have made the experience that we always didn't feel quite at home. At the moment, however, where you take a brush in your hand, or a spoon, or something for doing service to the Holy Dham, you feel how an invisible wall is disappearing, and you actually make connection or establish connection to the Holy Dham. Many of us have also had the experience that we came to a Krishna conscious festival and felt lonely, mysteriously lonely, because so many activities were around us. But then when we managed to take that bucket and distribute prasad to the devotees, we could all of a sudden appreciate the festival from a totally different side. The next point in order to find out our place is to read in holy scriptures, which are something like roadmaps to the spiritual reality. And the next is to discuss with sadhus, Vaishnavas, who are dear, near and dear to us, and with whom we can talk questions like, how do you see me? What do you, can you imagine a service for me to be? And finally, it is good to go to our spiritual master if we have a spiritual master already and ask him for further confirmation or guidance in this matter. So these are some advices for devotees who would like to find their place in Krishna consciousness. We have to change our place. We should not remain prakriti sthani karshati, dragging our senses, which are like prison chains, and our mind, which is like the iron ball. We shouldn't drag that around forever. But we should find our place in Krishna consciousness, and from there go back home to the place from where we will never return again to this miserable material world. So this was my lecture on the subject matter. Do you have any questions regarding some of these points? Janavi?
How much is necessary to consciously search for this place, or just to wait on intuition?
Actually, it's very necessary to search. We find this in the example of Lord Brahma, who woke up in the night of uncertainty, in der Nacht der Unsicherheit oder Ungewissheit. And he began to search but couldn't find any answer. There was really nothing around him, so he heard the word tapa, austerity. And then, after observing this instruction, it's interesting, Lord Krishna initiated him actually through the flute, and his instructions are recorded in the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Chatur Shloki, the four main verses. Now one of this verse says you should always something, you should always, under all circumstances, search both directly and indirectly for that supreme truth. I personally feel that for devotees it's very important to constantly be on this journey of self-realization. That means to go forward, to search for answers in life. It was important for Lord Brahma, and it is important for each one of us, because in these four verses the motto is given for a devotional life in Krishna consciousness. Now before he went on his search, he followed this tapasya. The tapasya means renunciation of material life, and this renunciation will sharpen your senses. Krishna says he can be known by such Krishna conscious renunciation, and he will reveal himself to such a sincere servant of his. Srila Prabhupada explains, I believe, in Chaitanya Charitamrita what it means to search after the Lord both directly and indirectly. Directly means we should know about Krishna and his qualities, and indirectly means we should know the obstacles on the path of hindrances. This is what it means to search for the Supreme Lord. Oh, you will find, I was just looking this afternoon for a moment in the Bhagavatam, and there you find how Narada Muni first had a vision of the Lord, and then the Lord disappeared, and the Lord then spoke to him from the far and said, please, I know it is very hard for you that I have now disappeared, and I really regret that in this life you will not be able to see me, but I'm doing this to you to increase your Sehnsucht, your Utkanta, your longing for me, doing this for your purpose, for me. So this transcendental Sehnsucht, this transcendental longing for Krishna will motivate your search, and it will give you the strength and energy to continue. Sometimes painful, but it's a sweet pain, without hurt, and long for the Supreme Lord. We want this very much in our lives. When Krishna sees it, he becomes very, 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 very pleased. It is described. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he uses the example of the little bird. The big ocean took away the eggs of this little bird, and the bird said, give me back my eggs! The ocean just laughed. If you're not going to do this, I will dry you up with my little schnabel, my little beak. What an interesting idea, said the ocean. So, at that time, Narada Muni was there and he heard it. And when he came to Krishna, he said, my dear Lord Krishna, I've just come from planet Earth. Yes, said Krishna, what's the news? Well, nothing much from the human beings, but there is a news from the birds. And he spoke very loud because next to Krishna was Garuda. Birds? And he listened with great interest because he's, after all, the father of all birds. Yes, the bird, the sparrow, had threatened the ocean to dry him up unless he returns the eggs. I said, Garuda. He just said to Krishna, so I have a little mission here to do, and I'll be back soon. He went to planet Earth and said, my dear ocean, I've just heard something, return the eggs. I'm on the side of the ocean. Did not respond, so Garuda just took his huge wing. And by this, he dried up the ocean a little bit, and a lot of sand came, which was following the wake of the wing, as it is. Sand is aufgewirbelt worden von dem der Schwinge, dem Schwung, dem Flügel, und ist in den Ozean reingegangen. You can still see this place near. It's a Gujarat on this coast. All of a sudden it goes right to the ocean. The ocean said, here are the eggs. Because he feared for his existence. So this shows how the bird was successful and was very determined. Now a devotee must be similarly determined. It's almost, if we use this example, it's almost as if we would send you, Janavi, to the Ostsee or North Sea with a little straw and request you, dear Janavi, now you please empty the North Sea with this little straw. You would say, this will never work, I will need a few lives for this. Yes.
okay, I'm determined.
And Krishna sees, oh yes, my ekantika bhakta, my single-minded bhakta, just fixed on me. I will personally come and do something. First, Krishna will meditate about such a bhakta. And if Krishna just thinks upon us, here's this verse, oh my dear Lord Chaitanya, I am the most wretched of all souls, but you are the savior of the wretches. Do you sometimes think of me? This is how sometimes the Swami prays to Mahaprabhu. Do you sometimes think of me? This is what we want. We want to serve Krishna with our determined life. And then, do you sometimes think of me, Krishna? A little bit, maybe. And if Krishna thinks of us, then we will be able to go on and on and on. And he will say, ah, but if usually it takes long to reach me, but this is my bhakta, and he will come on Garuda and just take him out of the ocean personally. Usually you have to do sadhan and a lot of qualifications are necessary, but when Krishna sees your determination, he says, ach was! And he just kicks over his own roots and takes us. Yeah. Because there you will obtain all necessary things. This is not necessary for everyone, but for Bhaktivedanta. Should be practical in life. But you will see, the challenge remains in Vrindavan before you, like at any other place in this world, to focus the consciousness. Prabhupada was describing the potency of the holy dance. He said, in the dance one makes contact with Krishna. But I have seen devotees go in the dance and make contact with women. They phone for a long time. Do you want to marry me? Every day, two times, you know. Not really, you know, the challenge is ahead of us also in the holy dharma. But sometimes devotees will get the necessary inspiration. Yeah, find the right place. It's ultimately in the consciousness. We may sometimes have to change our place, that because we are human beings, isn't it? But ultimately, it's a work in the consciousness. This is the lesson of this human form of life, which we will eventually, all of us, we will learn this. We will have to learn it. Do you have any further questions for the Chanda?
Two weeks ago, a friend of Krishna found me, and she has cancer. She only has 1 year to live. So, but she knows the devotees, it's very long, and even visited Vrindavan last year, but she's not chanting, and she doesn't have the faith to take it up. So why, what is the reason for that?
previous samskaras may be a reason, previous impressions which hamper the person to enter into spiritual life. Another reason might be deep doubts in Krishna consciousness. There are several reasons. It's an interesting thing to note. Krishna speaks, those who are on this path but who do not develop firm faith will fall back to birth and death in this material world. Krishna says like this. So then it's explained what it means to not have faith in the process, and to just say that someone may even accept that there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he may not think that the process will work. That's one type of doubt that a friend may have. This. If you study this disease, they usually also indicate something, cancer. It's some karmic form, you know. Someone who cannot give anything here gets. That's one reason why you can develop cancer. A keeper gets the cancer. Poor person. I can't say what to say. Maybe you have to somehow work at the faith of this person. She should see you, Gaurachanda. See how your consciousness is. Your mind is like a bottle of honey from which the thought of Krishna comes uninterrupted, like the honey which flows from the bottle. Then she will house meet this life of spiritual existence. This is something for me. That's not all so easy. This is above.
Yeah, you feel like you're completely drowning because it's really too much. It's not possible then to give
you the difference. Yes, you should. Maybe. We saw this in Serbia. There was one devotee who was just killing himself, running around with too much to do. And finally, he said a peep. He told us. And we arranged that. Service was distributed. I'm just too active all the time and have no time for reading and chanting, or just are too exhausted with you, then somehow it must be, it should be arranged that you are not pressured down. As soon as service becomes stress, we should be highly alarmed. Because then we don't have any love any longer. We don't think of Krishna. I was thinking about this in relationship to the verse Patra Pushpam Palang Toyam Yomi Bhaktya Payashati Tataham Bhakti Uparitam. There's two times bhakti. And what it means is you should actually two times bhakti means it's really the most important ingredient. And when you, it's like this, you should have a garden, then you should grow the vegetable with bhakti, you should pick it with bhakti, you should cook it with bhakti, and you should offer it with bhakti. This is why the word bhakti is two times there. Or a flower, cut it with bhakti, you know, to put it on the lotus feet or in the crown of the Lord with bhakti. then it becomes acceptable. It doesn't become acceptable, this is what Vishwanath Chakravarti says, if you are just, you know, doing something and then at the time of offering you go like, ach ja, Krishna. Oh, yeah. Sometimes even those who offer don't remember Krishna. They're so busy, okay, put it here, clang, you know, the curtain, a ling, 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 when can I eat, 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 the offering is done, Prabhus, you know, and then this is not so enjoyable for Krishna. It's a sign of stress. So therefore, to avoid this, you should cook and pick the flowers and the vegetables, but thinking of Krishna, that it means we can't be so pushed. When you get older, are you also getting older? Like every one of us? It happens. Yeah. Then you can't just maybe do so fast. Yeah, to, this, you do so much, so I became older overnight, and I noticed I can't just go so fast any longer. Ein alter Mann ist kein Dehnzug. You know, I have to think and to plan with Krishna in the mind, and to assume with Krishna in the mind. And then it's a very nice devotional service, very gladdening and enriching. If you just get pressed down by this night, this phone call, this appointment, this person, this, then you are not so much with bhakti there. Good, so I will end the lecture here. Tomorrow morning I want to talk about something very important. I want to talk about the subject, your relationship with Krishna and my relationship with Krishna. It's very interesting subject matter. I understand it sounds a little bit assuming, but I feel very, very true. So please, if you are still in Heidelberg and you can make it, please do come. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.